Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk about the Wildlife Rescue League this morning, and we have back with us, I think this is the second show we have done with the Wildlife Rescue League. Carolyn Wilder is here. Karen Brace is here. Good morning to both of you.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us. Boy, this is, we were just talking a minute ago, and it's a very windy day as we talk, and that we'll get right into that, because that's something, I guess, that's a real pertinent, because we talk about trees coming down and all that kind of thing. But this is, Carolyn, I would think this is going to be a tough day for animals.
It's going to be a tough day, which means it'll be a tough day on the helpline, because when people find wildlife, ideally they will call the Wildlife Rescue League helpline and let us know, and we can then tell them what it is they need to do. And then people like Karen can, provides us information on how you deal with squirrels, what you should do, when you shouldn't rescue them. And then if they do need rescuing, they get taken to people like Karen, who then take care of them until they can be released. But on days like this, we will get a lot of calls on that helpline, birds, squirrels, anything that gets blown out of trees. People find them. What do we do?
You think about it, on a day like this, we're all kind of nervous about things. I can't imagine for animals that all of a sudden who have no, in our case, we've known for a few days this was coming, but for animals, it started sometime in the overnight hours, and in the wind for the next 24 hours or so is going to be high. And you think of animals in the trees, animals on the ground. This has got to be scary for them.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, and the thing is, the squirrels are in the nests, and if the nests blow out of the trees, even if they don't have babies yet, now they don't have nests. And even though the birds are not yet laying eggs, they're having to deal with the circumstances as well. I suspect there's going to be a lot of stuff going on today. I'm glad I'm here and not on the helpline.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I know. When you talk about that, we will talk about the helpline and what you do with it and all of that. But boy, this is going to be one of those days. So, Karen, if I find a squirrel, a baby squirrel, what do I do this time? If I find something today,
right? The best answer is always it depends. Speaking specifically about today. Like Carolyn said, the poor little buggers are going to be blowing out of the nests, and the nests are going to be destroyed. The best thing to do from a baby squirrel perspective is to get that baby back with mom. There is no way in a rehabilitative care setting that I or any other rehabilitator can provide. There's no way to get them the absolute best care that mom can. So the first priority is to try to get them back with mom. Take mama squirrels and mama wild animals in general want those babies back. So this is usually, if the moms are still around, it's usually fairly easy.
Are they you can see are they hovering around or something like that?
Sometimes they are. Sometimes I had a call a couple of days ago. Somebody found a baby squirrel that had fallen out of a nest and was in a wood pile, so it wasn't immediately apparent to the mom. But the baby squirrels do a really shrill cry. It's kind of like a little, like almost like a little bird peeping noise, but it can be pretty shrill. So if mom hears that, she can find the baby. But if you are out and about today and you find a baby squirrel on your sidewalk, patio, wherever, if you have any idea where it would have fallen from, the best thing to do is get a box or a laundry basket or something like that. Put some a little towel or something that the baby can snuggle in, but you want to keep that baby warm. Squirrels, this time of year, they're only maybe a week, 2-3 weeks old, so they don't have any hair. They cannot regulate their own body heat, so you want to provide a heat source for them, something that works really well is to take a sock, fill it with rice, put it in the microwave for, you know, 20, 30, 40 seconds, depending on, the strength of your microwave. So it's warm but not hot. Snuggle the baby in the box with the rice sock, with something over the rice sock, like a little face cloth or something like that, just so it can get the heat, but it's not right on that if it's really hot. And then put the box, if you can secure it to a tree or a fence or the laundry basket or whatever you're using, as close to where you think the baby fell as possible, and then just watch. There's also a YouTube, and I should have had it ready today, where if you go on YouTube and you search baby squirrel cry, it's actually a minute and a half recording of, it starts off as one baby squirrel and then it ends up with like three or four. Mm-hmm. And if I've had success with having people put Bluetooth speakers in the box with the baby, if that's available.
Really?
So it sounds like the noise is coming from that box. I just saw the tree almost bend in half there for a second.
It's that kind of day.
It is. And so I've had success with people that almost immediately when they start playing this video sound, there's squirrel activity in the trees. So any mama squirrel in the area is like on high alert. Whose baby is that? Whose baby is that?
Isn't that interesting?
And we've had several instances where the people have been watching. You know, again, you don't want to get real close. You want to go back in the house and if you can watch. We've had several instances where they've played it and mama has come down and gotten one, two, three, four babies and brought them to alternate nest sites. Mama squirrels usually have more than one nest site for this reason. If it gets destroyed, then they can move them somewhere else, or if predators in the area, they can move them to somewhere else. So that has been a very good way of reuniting the babies. But that's the best way, is just get them back with mom.
So is it an old wives' tale that if I touch the squirrel, or if I touch an animal, that the mother's not going to have anything to do with it? Because we talked about this, I think, the last time.
Exactly. A lot of people think that. I got a call a couple of days ago. Somebody had found a baby squirrel, and they actually ended up getting it back with mom. But she said, you know, I'm wearing gloves so I don't get the scent of my scent. That is an old wives' tale. For squirrels, for bunnies, you can touch them, and mom will still come back. So that's another thing that's in our favor with trying to reunite them.
I guess it depends animal to animal and how far away they are. If you set it out, how long you wait. But I guess at some point, if after a day or so, if the mother hasn't come back. And
yeah, you don't even want to leave it a day.
Okay.
And again, it depends. If it's really, really cold,
again,
that baby cannot regulate its own body heat. So you want to keep checking that rice sock or, the heating disc or whatever you have in that box. If the baby gets cold, mom will not come back. She may come back, but she'll leave it because she thinks it's sick or it's dead if it's cold. So it has to be warm before she will take it. If it's raining really hard, if there's dogs, cats in the area. So it really depends on the situation. Mm-hmm. But ideally, in a perfect world, if you leave it out, if you can play the squirrel crying.
That's a great idea.
It is, yeah. And on a break, maybe we can find it and I can I can play it. But in a perfect world, if the conditions are okay and you can leave the baby there, and if you can play the squirrel crying and you don't see any squirrel activity, because sometimes something happens to mom and she's not coming back. So if you don't see anything within, a half hour, 45 minutes, then you can try moving it to another area. But it's also vital to get that baby into a rehabilitator's care if mom isn't going to show up. So we usually tell people give it about an hour.
Okay.
Because, a little defenseless baby out there, you don't want to leave it too long. You certainly don't want to leave it overnight. Squirrels stop moving around right about dusk. They're not moving around after dark. So if you find a baby late at night, bring it in, keep it warm. You can try in the morning. And then, but certainly don't leave it outside overnight, because something else besides mom will find that baby.
Yeah. Boy, that is really good advice. Karen Bryce here, Carolyn Wilder. We're talking Wildlife Rescue League. And boy, with it a windy day today, this is really good information. Good information to know for all spring, especially. We have much more to cover. We will do that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Wildlife Rescue League, our focus this morning. WildlifeRescueLeague.org is where you can find out information about the Wildlife Rescue League. Carolyn Wilder is here. Karen Brace is here. And we are talking about dealing with... first of all, windy days like we're dealing with today. And you have, Karen, we were just talking about hearing the kind of the shriek that a little right. baby squirrel, and you played that. It sounds just like birds.
Right. And again, if you go on YouTube and you search baby squirrel cry, it's all one word. It'll pop right up. It's about a minute, 37 seconds. And just to give you some idea of what baby squirrels sound like.
Yeah.
And this is usually when they're hungry. They really get going. Here it is.
It just sounds like birds, isn't that? Yeah, that's really interesting. So, but to hear that kind of that shrieky sound,
right,
is look around and you're going to probably see a baby squirrel.
Exactly.
Now, when we talk about a baby squirrel, because I don't know that I've ever seen one. Do they have much hair when they are first born?
No, they look like little tiny pink. About the size of a gummy drop when they're first, or a little gummy bear.
Yeah, that small.
Yep, and they're completely hairless. Their eyes aren't open. They stay hairless for about 3.5 weeks, and then they start to get a little, kind of like a little 5 o'clock shadow. You can start to see the gray coming through. By 4 weeks, they have hair. 5 weeks, they're fully furred. Their tails look like little pipe cleaners, and they're just starting to open their eyes at 5 weeks. And but this time of year, we're starting already to see 2 week, 3 week olds. So squirrels mate twice a year. So mm-hmm. this is just the first round of fun for the year.
How long does it take us? How long does it take then for a squirrel to fully develop?
They are fully developed when we keep them and raise them in a rehab setting. We release them between 3 and 4 months, depending on the squirrel, generally okay. closer to 4 months.
Okay.
So by that time, they look identical to a fully functioning regular squirrel. They've got the big bushy tail. They're just smaller. So they're miniature versions of the adult at that point.
Once a squirrel becomes fully developed and becomes an adult or however they're referred to, I mean, are they pretty hardy and can in last, you know, a really cold spell and you know, tough winter conditions? They seem to almost be indestructible.
Until they meet a car anyway.
Well, yes.
Yeah, they are. They're pretty tough little critters. If they have a good nest, and they also, you know, like other wild animals, their fur gets thicker. They also use their tails for heat and cooling. Mm. They can actually thermoregulate with their tails. There's blood vessels that go up to the tails. That can be used to keep them warm and also to cool them. So you've probably seen adult squirrels, you know, on your fence, trying to get to your bird feeders, and they're standing there, and it's snowing, and their tails are actually up covering their backs. Not only is it good for protecting them from the snow, but they're actually regulating their body heat and insulating themselves with their tail when you see it up over their back like that.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I'll have to look for that, and now I'll know something. So now you talked about if on a day like this, if you know that the nest has come out of the tree, or you're pretty certain that squirrel has fallen, and it's been fairly recent. What about if you come across a squirrel that's you know for one reason or another has been there maybe for a little bit?
Right. A lot of times, a little bit later in the spring, we get calls from people that say, I found a squirrel in my yard, a little baby squirrel just came up to me. Well, that's not normal for baby squirrels. If mom is still around, that baby squirrel is not going to come up to a human. So chances are something has happened to mom. Either she's been, grabbed by a hawk, and maybe in that process, the hawk has displaced the nest and the babies all fell. Or she's been hit by a car, grabbed by a dog or a cat. Something has happened to her. And the babies get hungry and they start to move around in the nest. They fall out of the nest. And then they're a little bit more mobile at that point. Mm-hmm. So they're able to find humans or, climb around and try to find basically some help. So if you see a squirrel that has its eyes open and has fur, and it was found by, your dog brought it to you, that's pretty common later in the season. You kind of want to assess the situation. First of all, if there's no mom around, it's a pretty good chance that something did happen to her. But you definitely want to call a rehabber if there are any injuries on the baby. If it has any flies, bugs, God forbid, maggots, because that means that mom has not been around for several days.
Okay.
Because if mom is around, that baby is going to be perfectly clean. And also, if it's cold to the touch, that's also a very important sign that it needs to come into a rehabber when it's fully furred, because it's dehydrated, it could be emaciated. So in that case, you want to find a local rehabber. You can call the Wildlife Rescue League hotline number, which is 703-440-0800. And depending on what county you live in, the helpline operators can put you in touch with a rehabber in your local area. if you are down in Spotsylvania, Fredericksburg, Stafford County, King George, and you find a squirrel, you can also call me. My cell phone number is 703-772-2766. I deal with specifically with squirrels, possums, and groundhogs. Possums and groundhogs are later in the season, so mm-hmm. our focus right now is on squirrels. But again, if a baby is sick, if a baby is cold, mom is not going to get it, come back and get it, even if she is in the area. So in cases where there's, again, obvious injuries, flies, opened wounds, things like that, you definitely want to get that baby to a rehabilitator. And it's really tempting to bring it in, keep it warm, definitely, especially if you can't get it right to a rehabilitator. But yeah. Everybody wants to feed it. Do not feed the baby. And we can talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah, no, that is because I would think you would want to do that, but we'll come back to that and talk about why you shouldn't feed on the hotline 703-440-0800, the kind of, I guess, the statewide number. And I guess Carolyn Wilder with the Wildlife Rescue League, I guess, are you always looking for people to either answer the phone or to be the Karens in their locality?
Yes, we. Wildlife Rescue League is an all-volunteer organization, so we have no staff and we are virtual, so we have no building. So a lot of times people call and they found something and they want to know, well, how can I bring it to you? Well, there is no we to bring it to.
Yeah.
But what happens, and our helpline is a voice messaging system. You are not going to get a live person when you call. You're going to hear a message that gives you information about us, and then there are extensions that you can push depending on what species you're dealing with. So if you're dealing with mammals, you would press 4. If you're dealing with birds, you would press 2. It will go to another voice message, which will give you some of the information, such as what Karen has given, so that there's a possibility of that self-help. And at the very least, it always tells you to bring it, put it in a box, heat source, etc. Mm-hmm. And then somebody from the helpline volunteer group will call back. Our helpline is open 9 to 5, 7 days a week. We do have gaps. We do not have full coverage, so it may be that you get called back immediately. You may get called back in an hour. If it's more than an hour and a half, the message will let you know about area vets that you can take that wildlife to so that they can take care of it until we can get it. But you will not get hold of a live person no matter how many buttons you push. But you do get a lot of good information that may, and so we do get hang-ups because people will listen to the message and they'll say, okay, I know what to do, and they don't have to leave a message.
Okay.
You leave a message, we will call you back. But we need volunteers to help man that helpline. We need volunteers to transport from the vets and the shelters to the rehabilitators, because Karen is not going to have the ability to go out and get something when she's feeding 20 squirrels. So we have drivers that volunteer and pick up from our area vets and take them out to the rehabilitators. And then we also obviously have other volunteer opportunities because we do tabling events and presentations and things. But the transporters and the helpline volunteers are our most immediate need. The rehabilitators, we are in constant need of that, but it's a more complicated process. Helpline, transporter, it's a two-hour training.
Yeah.
Rehabbers, you have to be licensed through the state. And so you have to apply to become an apprentice. You have to have a sponsoring rehabber that's going to supervise what you're doing. It's a two-year apprenticeship before you can get the license that Karen has and can take in injured and sick wildlife. As an apprentice, you can take orphaned and abandoned, but again, it's through the supervision and coordination of your sponsoring rehabber. So we do get calls very often about people that want to be rehabilitators, and they're thinking, oh, I can just sign up and do it. It's a much more complicated process.
I did not realize that it really is. But boy, if you're the kind of person that just really wants to help and you know, really has a desire to help animals like this, you know, the Wildlife Rescue League is for you.
Right.
Because boy, you could start, you know, maybe you do start off and you're just transporting, and then you decide I'd like to go further.
Sure.
You can do that.
Right. And it depends on what your time availability is.
Yeah.
You know, and so when I talk to people about rehabilitation, I say, you know, if you are retired or you're a stay-at-home parent, you have that flexibility, because when you're looking at baby mammals or baby squirrels or baby birds, you're feeding every hour. So it's not like you can take in five squirrels and then go off for half a day. If you're working, you might want to be taking in turtles because they only have to be fed every 2 days.
Yeah.
So a lot of it depends on your availability and also your living situation, because you have to have a space dedicated to the wildlife. You can't have children and animals running through.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a woman that was very interested, but she lived in a studio apartment with a dog. And she said, but I have a walk-in closet. It's like, no, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
So there's other things that have to be taken into consideration before the state would even consider licensing.
It is the Wildlife Rescue League, wildliferescueleague.org, the website to find out more. And we have Carolyn Wilder, Karen Brace here this morning. We will be back. We've got much more to cover, and we'll do that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:32.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Carolyn Wilder and Karen Brace here. Wildlife Rescue League, our focus, wildliferescueleague.org. The helpline number is 703-440-0800. And we also got Karen's sort of the kind of the go-to person around here, and we'll give her number before we get out of here too. Couple of things to pick up or tie up some loose ends. Right before we took the break, Karen, you were talking about don't feed the animals, and why is that?
The most important reason is that people don't know what to feed baby squirrels. There's a lot of misinformation on the internet. If you find a baby squirrel and you feed it the wrong thing, you can actually kill that little animal. It's really tempting when you find that adorable baby. Oh, it's cold. It must be hungry. That's just the human in us, you know, the nurturing wanting to come out. But if you have a baby squirrel or baby anything that is dehydrated and you try to feed it, again, you can kill that animal. if something is dehydrated, it cannot process food. So if you find a baby, again, squirrel specifically in this case, and you can't get it to a rehabber, you know, for several hours, if it looks fat and okay, just leave it alone. Keep it warm. That's the most important thing. If you pinch the skin on the, just really lightly, between its shoulder blades, and it's what we call a skin test, and the skin stays up for several seconds, mm-hmm. that means it's dehydrated. If you can't get it to me or another rehabber within, you know, a few hours, couple hours, then you can give it a Pedialyte solution. You can just go to the store, get unflavored Pedialyte. Squirrels don't need strawberry or raspberry, just unflavored Pedialyte, and put it in, warm it up. Again, not hot, but warm. You can put it in a little eyedropper or something like that, and very, very carefully, just one drop at a time, you can give it to the squirrel. If you try to do too much, it can actually aspirate, and when you see it kind of blow it out its nose, then that means that it's aspirated, and that fluid can actually get in its lungs, cause pneumonia, and kill the baby squirrel. So the best thing to do is, if you can, leave it alone, keep it warm, get it to a rehabber. If you think that it needs to be hydrated, a little bit of unflavored Pedialyte in a dropper. I've had people try to give baby squirrels cow's milk. Cow's milk is pretty much only good for baby cows. It is actually toxic to a lot of other mammals. It will kill the baby squirrel.
Huh.
It will kill the baby bunny. So don't give anything that you find in the wild cow's milk. I've had people try to feed baby squirrels human breast milk, which I thought was an interesting choice. But again, the best thing to do is absolute, you know, minimum. Well, the minimum is nothing, but, you know, Pedialyte if you absolutely have to. There is a formula that we do use for baby squirrels, and, you know, anything else is going to, it could cause the baby to bloat and just give it diarrhea and all sorts of fun things that I don't really need to deal with when I get a baby squirrel in. So keep it warm, get it to a rehabber. If you can't reunite it with mom is the best advice.
Boy, and, Carolyn Wilder, that just what Karen describes, a lot of us have good intentions to doing things, but that's why you have a rehabber, and that's why she's got a license, and that's why she's got the training, and that's what people who are rehabbing for you are able to do.
Exactly, exactly. And the other, on a related note, with birds, people think, oh, I can just drop water into a bird's mouth and feed it. Well, they can aspirate as well because it's the glottis or whatever is right there in their throat. And if you put it down wrong, you're just going to drown the bird. So they actually recommend not even trying to hydrate a bird orally, you know. And the same, you know, all the stuff she said about squirrels is true about other species, you know, and about birds. If you find birds, you want to keep them warm in the same way with a rice sock in a box where they can get away from it. And then get it to a rehabilitator or a vet, because when the birds are baby, they don't have, you know, a lot of feathers. And the difference there is, whereas mom squirrel can come down and pick up the baby and take it back, mom birds can't pick up baby birds. And so the problem you run into there is, if you can't get them re-nested or create a substitute nest that mom can handle, you are going to have to rescue that bird and get it to a rehabilitator. And then that just takes you into the whole thing of when do you need to rescue, you know, because if you just see a bird on the ground with a lot of feathers, but it's hopping around like Woodstock in the Peanuts cartoon, it's a fledgling. It's learning to fly. That's why it's on the ground. It's out of the nest, but it's not quite flying yet. But if you stay away, you're going to see mom and dad come down feeding it. People tend to rescue those all the time. And, yeah, rescue in quotes.
Yeah.
Because they think that the poor things or oh, well, there's a cat or a dog or a fox or a whatever in the neighborhood. Well, you know, that you just have to deal with that. Or you keep your cat and dog in the house for a couple of days until it can fly. But if you rescue a fledgling and it goes to a rehabilitator, it sets that bird back about a month because there's nothing there teaching it how to learn to eat, nothing teaching it how to fly. And so the rehabilitators end up keeping a bird that would have been on its own in 2 or 3 days. They're having to keep it for a month before they can release. So people thinking they're doing the right thing are actually, again, being detrimental to those fledglings that are being taken care of. Now, again, if you realize the parents are dead, you know, they're lying on the ground next to them, you know, then yes, it needs rescuing. But otherwise, it's the whole observe, watch, see what's happening from a distance,
right,
and then assess that situation again. So, you know, all of the information Karen has provided about squirrels and, you know, works for everything. You know, you don't just swoop in,
yeah,
pick it up and take it to a rehabilitator, because that's not the best. That's the alternative, second best measure. The first measure is the parents.
Right.
And I guess if, especially because a lot of us do see the birds, mm-hmm. and especially if you've got trees in your yard, mm-hmm. you're going to see that. If I see it and look at it, looks like, say, the bird, I think that the bird has a broken wing. Again, just kind of watch and see if the mom can come and take care of it. I guess don't assume.
Well, if you think it has a broken wing, then it does need to be rescued, because obviously mom can't put a splint on it. But if it's just not flopping, but flying, you know, flittering, and it hops and it, you know, kind of jumps onto a bench or it jumps onto a bush, they often recommend even, you know, putting it into a bush or on a low branch so that you don't have to worry about the cat and the dog, right, theoretically, and then wait and see what happens. But if it's obviously injured, then yes, again, you would want to put it in a box with a heat source, get it to a vet or a rehabilitator to be treated. The same is true. We very often have window strikes, where yes. birds have run into mm-hmm. plate glass windows, car windows, you know, sliding glass doors, and they pretty much knock themselves out. And people will call because they have found a bird that has hit the window. And we have similar recommendation. Put it in a box, set it, you know, somewhere safe, and wait for an hour or two to see, because very often they revive and they fly away. If they don't, then they go to a vet, but then very often they have neurological damage. They've broken their neck or something that may or may not be rehabilitated. But at least the vet can make that assessment. You know, the public's not in a position to do that. But almost everything is, you know, watch and observe for a period, unless you know for sure there is absolutely something wrong. Like Karen said, if it has maggots, if it's got flies flying around it, and if a cat or a dog has caught it, mammal or bird, it needs to go to a vet because it will get an infection and it needs to be treated with antibiotics. But other situations you want to watch, because nature will take its course and will, you know, the parents will come and take care of it.
What about bunnies?
Bunnies, I was just going to say, bunnies are very similar situations in that usually in, what, a month, 2 months, we start to get a lot of bunny calls. People are getting their gardens ready. A couple of years ago, I was cleaning out all the weeds out of my raised beds, and I unearthed a nest of bunnies. And I thought, uh-oh. And I just put all of the weeds and piled everything back up on that nest of bunnies and backed off and cleaned out all of my other raised beds. And, you know, so my first crop that year was a nest of bunnies, or, you know, a bunch of bunnies. So if you unearth a nest of bunnies, the best thing to do is cover it up and leave it alone. And you watch it, because mama bunny feeds baby bunnies in the morning and then at night. She does not visit the nest during the day. She does not want to call the attention of predators to that nest. She doesn't want to lead a cat right to her nest of babies. So cover the nest up, but kind of pay attention to how you cover it. And then if it's in the middle of the day, go back in the evening. If that, you know, the weeds or the grass or whatever you have piled back up there has been disturbed, you know that mom is going back and feeding those babies. If you can put, you know, some people want to put like a laundry basket or something over the nest to kind of protect it. Obviously, make sure you have, there's a big enough hole in it so mom can get in and out, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. If the nest has been, you know, destroyed and and you cover it back up, or again, if the babies have flies around them, you know mom's not coming back. But don't just assume that because, oh, there's a nest and there's no mom around, that mom has disappeared. Mama, deer do the exact same thing in the spring. They will feed their baby in the morning. They will usually stash it somewhere and hide it. And again, their idea of a good hiding place and our idea of a good hiding place sometimes isn't always the same. But they will stash it for the day. They will go out. They will eat. They will do whatever mama deer do during the day. Then they will come back, get that baby at night, take it to where the deer bed down and feed it. So a lot of times in the spring, people find quote-unquote abandoned fawns. And it could be in, you know, a tree line. And we had a mama deer a few years ago kind of stash it in our field with our goats. And just keep an eye out. Is the baby still there? Does it have an injury? Does it have flies? If it has diarrhea, that's a sure sign that it needs help because it's dehydrated. So it's really just watch and kind of see what happens.
And also if they're crying. Right. Then that's a sign that something's wrong because mom has told them to lie very still and quiet all day, and they listen to their parents. So, yeah.
Interesting. This is all just a couple of the really big takeaways from this is it is okay to touch him, Karen. You mentioned
it is
that the mom is still gonna come and hang around.
Right.
Though.
Obviously, you want to minimize, you know, the exposure. We don't want people picking them up and, you know, hugging and kissing and things like that. But mom will, if there's a human scent, mom will come back for those babies. But again, you know, to say it's okay to touch them is a little misleading. Minimize your exposure, definitely. That's just, you know, because wild animals do have parasites and bacteria and diseases that sometimes humans can get. So you want to be careful handling the animals. But in terms of mom coming to get them, yes. Yes.
The helpline again for the Wildlife Rescue League is 703-440-0800. And as Carolyn Wilder mentioned, you're not going to talk to anybody, but you'll be given all kinds of information on what to do and other numbers or your call will be responded to. And we'll talk about that again, how to deal with that and what you'll deal with that when we come back. We're also going to talk about turtles when we come back. When we wrap this up, Carolyn Wilder and Karen Brace here. It is the Wildlife Rescue League, our focus this morning. And we will be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Karen Brace here and Carolyn Wilder from the Wildlife Rescue League. It is wildliferescueleague.org is the website to find out how you can volunteer or find out about all the great stuff and the information that they have. Karen is the rehabilitator in our area. In just a second, I'll have you give your number again, Karen, in case someone runs into something and has some information. But with squirrels, do they make good pets? Should they be pets?
That's an excellent question. Absolutely no. No, 100 times no. Not squirrels, bunnies, raccoons, possums. The first answer that comes to mind, other than no, is it is illegal in the state of Virginia to keep any wild animal as a pet. So first of all, know that. It is actually illegal. If the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries finds out you have fill-in-the-blank as a pet, a game warden can actually come and confiscate it. I get several calls a year from people who have found a baby squirrel, and now that's that squirrel that was cute and cuddly and adorable is now 5 or 6 months old. It is starting to have the hormones raging. It has its fully functioning teeth and claws. It is starting to get aggressive. It's biting children. Squirrels especially do not make good pets. Everybody has a story. My grandfather used to have a squirrel and it would, you know, jump on his shoulder and eat peanuts. Well, great for your grandfather. But the bottom line is these are wild animals. They have wild behaviors. They are dangerous in a home environment.
Mm-hmm.
They get aggressive. They get frustrated because they know they're not supposed to be in the house in a cage. But not only that, is if you feed an animal, any baby animal, an improper diet, it is not going to grow up properly. With mammals and reptiles, you have to worry about metabolic bone disease, where if you feed an improper diet to a baby animal, its bones are not going to develop right. So you have tails that aren't formed properly. You have bowed, sometimes turned in limbs. The teeth don't grow in properly. And all of that causes problems as the squirrel gets older. So absolutely not.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
It's tempting. Don't do it.
Again, your number for someone who wants to get in touch with you as a rehabber in this area.
Right. Again, I am down in the Fredericksburg, Falmouth area. So if you are in Stafford County, Spotsylvania, Fredericksburg City, Falmouth, King George, you can contact me directly. My cell phone is 703-772-2766. Again, that I ask, any specific questions relating to birds, deer, anything that I don't work with, be directed to the helpline, which is 703-440-0800. But I always, welcome calls, questions. Also, if you're interested in becoming a volunteer, whether it's on the helpline, if you want more information on becoming a wildlife rehabilitator, I can certainly give you more information about that as well.
Before we get out of here, we only have a couple minutes left. Carolyn Wilder, we had talked about turtles because that's another animal that you sometimes see this time of year.
Right. Because we've been having this weird weather where it's gotten warm up into the 70s, sometimes the turtles are coming out of migration a bit early.
Hibernation.
That's right. Not migration. Thank you so much. Out of hibernation early. And then people find them, and then, of course, it's going to get cold, and they want to know what to do. And I talked to our rehabilitator on turtles, Rachel, and she basically said if you can put them up against a wall or something, mm-hmm. abutment, a wood pile, and then put leaves, cover them in leaves, mulch something about a foot around, you're basically rehibernating them and keeping them warm. And that way, then, they will come back out when it's okay. The other thing people sometimes don't remember is that turtles come from eggs. They're reptiles. Mom lays the eggs, and then she leaves. And so periodically, we'll get a call about, I found this newly hatched baby turtle, and its mom's not around. What do I do? And it's like, you leave it alone because it is a fully functioning turtle, and it will do what turtles are supposed to do. Mom doesn't teach it anything. It's on its own from the get-go. And so you just let it be.
And another really important thing to remember with turtles, people are always trying to, again, quote unquote, help turtles. Mm. If you see a turtle crossing the road and you want to help it, you can, get out of your car, obviously make sure it's safe, take the turtle and place it on the side of the road in the direction that it was heading. Because if you put it on the direction that it came from and then you drive off thinking that you've done your good deed for the day, the turtle is still going to cross the road and probably get hit by the next car that comes behind you. So always put it in the direction that it is heading. Don't think that you need to relocate it to a nice pond or a nice field or a nice whatever. Leave it alone. It knows where it's going. Just help it across the road.
We are unfortunately out of time, but we'll do it again sometime this summer and keep this up because there's so much good information. Thank you both for what
you do.
This was just terrific. WildlifeRescueLeague.org, 703-440-0800. Carolyn Wilder, Karen Brace with the Wildlife Rescue League.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.